Thank you, Pastor. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that's come here today, and especially the people who are watching online. It's not that often you get a chance to preach to people, and the pastor asked me if I would, so I thought I'd give it a shot. So. The theme of this is, how do we enter the kingdom of God? So, first of all, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, we want to glorify you in this message. We are nothing without you. If you're not here at this meeting, Lord, and having us see your word and have it touch our hearts and show us the correct way, we are nothing. Lord, every meeting that we have here is about glorifying you and having you open our eyes of our understanding and being able to be better witnesses for you. And again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Okay, so if you'd like to turn to the chapter of John, or John chapter 3, what I'd like to do is start off there. Usually you find that if you talk to anybody and just ask them, like, how do you get to heaven? The average person would probably say that, you know, they're a good person. We've heard that before. We've also heard they say, well, I believe in God, or, you know, that I do go to church. And when you actually listen to those, you would say that there's a bit of a truth behind it. Is it right? Is it not right? And what I want to do tonight is just look through God's word and go through some verses and show what he has to say about it. Okay? So if you turn to chapter 3, we'll start right there at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there we see it right there in the beginning. It says, except a man be born again. So we know that the answer is different from what we've seen so far. If you go further down, as he's talking to Nicodemus, he says again, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Right there we see that there's two births. Now, we know from the beginning that we were born, because that's why we're here, but there's got to be a second birth. And we see here it's a birth of the Spirit, so we know that it's different. So we know that's very important to get into the kingdom of heaven, because God says so as well. So if I can have you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And while you're turning there, as we said too, it says born again of the Spirit. And what I'm going to show is where it shows in there. So when you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, let's take a look. It says being born again. So there's a word that we heard earlier, born again. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, if we look at it closely, it says born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, we are corruptible seed. That's the flesh that he's talking about. He's talking about the second birth, but of incorruptible, which is the second birth, the spiritual birth, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you can hold that spot, and if you can turn over to Galatians 4, because I want to carry on right there. In Galatians, I'm going to compare them both so you can see that God's word shows up at many places in the Bible. So once you get to Galatians 4, I want to start at chapter 4. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law. So it shows right there, made of a woman. That's our first birth. That's the physical birth. To redeem them which were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because of your sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There it is right there. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. That's the second birth. That's a picture of it right there, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now go back to Peter and just go back there and just take a quick look. I'm just going to reread this verse where it says, and because of your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Now when you're looking at 1 Peter, it says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. If you look at that, he's saying over here in Galatians, God sent forth the Spirit or his seed. And where it says, by the word of God, we know that the word of God is Jesus. It says so in Revelation. So you can see how they fit together. Because it's he sends over his Spirit of his Son into your heart. He's talking about it there in Peter as well. You can see how it kind of fits together. So we know that being born again has a lot to do with the Spirit. So if I could have you turn to 1 John chapter 5, and you can hang on in that chapter for a while because we're going to reference that quite a bit in this. Once over in 1 John 5, it says, if we receive the witness of men, this is verse 9, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. There it is right there. It says he has the witness in himself. When we look back, it said, the Spirit of his Son coming into your hearts. To me, I think that's a picture as well. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he has not believed the record that God gave of his Son. That's the record that God has given of his Son. If you go a little further down now from there and you go to verse number 12, it says, he who has the Son has life. Now we know when he sends the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, that's it right there. He that has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. That was us before we were born again. We do not have life. So as we're looking at, we're kind of seeing that you have to be born again. Nowhere have we read anywhere it talks about being a good person, and yet the average person doesn't really know any better because that's all they know. And it's through God's light that he shines on us that he can show us how it all works. Now the second part here is you're born again. So once you're born again, you're born of God. So 1 John chapter 5, if you look at verse number 4, it says, for whosoever is born of God. So you know you're born of God because you've already been born again. It says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And if you drop down, it says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. There it is proclaimed right there. Jesus is the Son of God. So once you're born again, that part of you realizes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's in a sense a testimony. Now if you turn over to Matthew 16, verse 13, if you can work your way over there. What I did is I went through the Bible to find out, has anybody proclaimed that Jesus is the Son of God? Because we know when you're born again, that's part of what that is. So Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of God am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the first time that I found that in the Bible. He's actually referring to it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it. You see, when we're flesh and blood, we don't know that unless you're born again. So you can see that sign. Once you're born again, this is the part that you proclaim it. And he says, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now that's the first one that I saw. And so I looked a little further in there, and if you go to Acts chapter 9, this is where Saul, before he was Paul, was on his way to Damascus, as we know. And as he was traveling, there was a big light that shone on him, and the voice from God said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. So I want to start here, chapter 17, and this comes in just after this. It says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a picture, too, of that the Spirit coming into you. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with his disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he was the Son of God. The very same statement after Peter as well. And the third example I want to show is in Acts. It's just turn a page back to chapter number 8. This is the eunuch that Philip was told to go beside. And if you take a look, chapter 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of him, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the first part. We see that this is what God has done for us. By receiving him, we are born again. That's the part that he plays in it. The next question is, too, is we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, so what is our part? If you can turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And the thing, too, that I noticed about those three examples about being born again, if you take a look at the one of Peter, when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, that was before Jesus rose from the dead. But you notice he said that the Father told him this. Normally, when the Spirit comes into you, you proclaim it. I think it was a foreshadowing of what salvation was going to be. And then if you look also at Paul, in his, the Spirit came into him. It said the Holy Ghost came upon him. And that's the very same thing. And then he preached Jesus. And the last one with the eunuch is sort of us. It's a picture of us where somebody comes up to us and he asked him and he said, you know, if you proclaim that he is. So it's showing three different examples of that. So if you go to Ephesians, what I have here is basically our part. In Ephesians 1, I was looking at it, it's kind of the framework. It's just a condensed thing of the gospel. I'll read it here first and then we'll go through it. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Those are kind of the three steps. Because if you look at it, you were trusted, you heard the word of truth, the gospel. To expand on that, what is the gospel? We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, this is Paul speaking, it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And then he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. So that's a picture of the gospel. So you see it in that framework. That's the second. Also, if you look at it, if you go into Romans 10, this is our part as well. We know what it's on the tracts that we send out, Romans 10. And the key word is if. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and I put in brackets, that Jesus is the Son of God, thou shalt believe and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we kind of see this is our part to start the beginning part of the process, because the Lord God doesn't force anything on anybody. It's a gift. And so we're seeing what he's going to do for us, but we have to show our part in it. And if you go to actually John chapter 1, which we, I know in the last Sunday that Pastor preached on this too. And it's and this is part of that invitation in that structure, as I said, the framework, which is in Ephesians. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, there we see the two sides. The part about he came into his own and his own received him not. That's what we were. Is that where we're standing? As the invitation has not been accepted. But as many as received him. That is the key too. And it says he gave them the power. The power, I think, is the spirit that he sent into our hearts, like he said. The spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that's a picture of it too. And it says here that but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We're actually brought into a family. And even going back to what I said earlier, when you talk to somebody about going to heaven, to them they think it's just a place. But you're in the family of God. And I don't think they really realize. I think they want to go to this better place and it doesn't matter if God's there, but it's really his family. And you're a part of that. And it shows right there. And it says you're not born, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. That's the first birth. But of God. Remember it said, anyone who is born of God says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it shows right there. So that shows their part and our part. Now, a lot of times we as Christians, even though we have all this, we always have doubts that always creep in. And we wonder, you know, what is our assurance? And God gives us assurance as well. So if you look at 1 John chapter 5, God gives an assurance because every time we do have doubts that creep in. And so if you look at John chapter 5, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. There's the two parts right there. That's our testimony. Just that ye may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of his Son. That's his guarantee. And also, in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And if you look at both, you see what you're getting? Both of them say, it is written. It says, but as it is written. This is God's testimony. This is, in essence, what this is. It's a document. It's a covenant that we have with him. He does his part, which we've seen in the first part. We just do our part. And if you really look at it, it's a covenant and a contract. But also, I think what it really is, it's your born-again birth certificate. Because it's not written with ink,
yes,
but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on fleshly tables of our heart.